so today, some of you know I sent out to as many as I had emailed for, I sent out the title of the message this week. Amen. And hopefully you've been actually able to go out and ask people, are you being transformed by God? You know, sometimes you go out and you meet people and it's hard to just share your faith with them. It's hard to instantly strike up a conversation. So sometimes I just ask, are you being transformed by God? And some people are kind of confused.
Yeah.
Now, let's set them aside. How about us?
Right.
Are we being transformed by God in our daily relationship with Him? What does it mean? What does it look like to be transformed by God? That is what we're going to look at today in a message titled Transformers. Are you being transformed by God? So, just a little bit about myself. You know, you may look and say, oh, hey, you know what? If I come here every week, notice I'm not normally the preacher. I'm normally the guy that leans up against the pole in the back. And then I sometimes run up and press a button. I wonder what that's all about. Well, you know what that is? I do the website and we do the audio for that. And sometimes, though, the reality is, because I do some stuff in the back, I end up not worshiping. And it's more of a process for me, coming to church. It's more of, okay, I got to do this, then I got to do this, and then I got to do this. And that's just sometimes where my heart's at. And what I need to do is I need to remember how Jesus did it. So we need to look at the scriptures today. We're going to look at a number of scriptures. Buckle up and hang on. This is going to be exciting. Let's go over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 17.
All right, bro. Come on. Come on, bro.
You know, about 11 years ago, my wife, who was not my wife, she was just my live-in girlfriend, realized that what we're doing is wrong, and she needed to move out and become a true disciple. She needed to obey Jesus, and us shacked up together, living in sin, was not obeying Jesus. She did it, and she reached out to me 11 years ago. Slowly but surely, I came around, and the first time I actually opened the Bible and read this, Matthew 17, about Jesus being transfigured, I definitely didn't get it. I was just like, oh, this is a pretty amazing story. But, okay, what does that have to do with me? Jesus can go up and be transfigured and be like super lightning. Okay, how does that relate to me? Because I can't do that. So, finally, 11 years later, I'm getting some insight from the scripture. Let's see if we can get it all together. In verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus took with him James, Peter, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There, he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as lightning. Think about that. Is that how you picture Jesus? His face, radiant, just blow away, glowing. Is that how you picture Jesus? Or do you picture him as sort of this weak guy with a beard, the way some of the paintings depict him, sort of a limp guy, doesn't really do much, he's just kind of your average guy? Who do you serve? Who is the God that you serve? If it's Jesus, you need to understand. You need to connect with, there is more to Jesus than meets the eye. If you're a true disciple, there needs to be more to you than meets the eye. Verse 3. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. Okay. What in the world's going on here? Moses, I thought he died like 1,400 years ago. What's going on? Elijah, about 800 years. No one's seen these guys since. And all of a sudden they're there. What in the world is going on? Can anyone explain this? You know, the last we heard from Elijah, he was telling people he was going to be taken away. And he was taken away in a chariot of fire. And that was his faith. God took him. That's the last we see of him. And now here he is, talking to Jesus. How is your walk with God? What's your expectation? Do you expect to talk to Jesus? Do you expect amazing things out of what Jesus is going to do in your life that can impact people and have them talking about Jesus because of your faith? Or are you just going through the motions? I barely made it here today. You know, today, just planning the day, because as we know, a third of the church is at a conference in Syracuse. And I'm sure we're going to hear all about the exciting things that God's doing next week. But planning all this, a lot of times, this morning I had to realize, I had to stop and say, I'm kind of anxious in my heart. Just all the preparation and the planning. And I did not have a Mary heart, I had a Martha heart. I was all doing all the serving. And I was busy doing the Lord's work. But I did not have a heart to see what God was going to do with faith. And a lot of times we miss the boat because we just do things because of our talent.
Come on,
and one of the brothers in my life said to me, you're very talented, but that's not what I pray for you about every day. I know you're talented. You're more talented than me. That's what he said. What I pray for you is faith. And the first thing I thought is, well, don't waste your time. I have faith. And then I realized it was exposed to me by the end of the day that I was not being a man of faith that I need to be for God, for the people that I run into every day, for the people that I help in my walk as a disciple, for my wife and for my kids. I was not being a man of faith, and I needed to be. God needs you to be a man, a woman, and a child of faith. Who else is going to rescue this world? You got to understand, Matthew 28, we're not going to go there, but in your notes, God's rescue mission was for disciples, to make disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, all races. We pretty much look around, and pretty much every race you can imagine is in the circle, even though if we're more than 40 right now, I'd be surprised. But that was God's plan, for disciples, for someone to be made a disciple, to understand what the teaching was about what is a Christian. And then to go and make a disciple and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and teach them to obey. And He'll be with you always. That's the plan. There's no backup plan. There's no, oh, well, if they don't do that, then I'll just send everybody a text message and they'll know how to be saved through the text message. There's not a backup plan. This is the plan. Are you on board with the plan? Or are you very busy with your life? And the plan is sort of a side plan for when you have your free time. I got together with the brothers the other day, and we talked about free time. Because Chris preached about last week at our park service. Because it was Independence Day. Everybody's free. We're independent. It's America. And I asked the brothers, what are we doing with that free time? Are we using it as a license to sin? Because we're free in Christ. Or are we using our free time that God gave us to serve more people?
Amen.
What are we doing with that free time? Are we so well versed in the vernacular of DVDs and video games and music, but we don't know who Elijah was? We couldn't spell the difference between Elijah and Elisha if our life depended on it. We need to know. These are the prophets of God. And where do you fit in? God has a plan for you. If you're in this circle, there's no doubt God has a plan for you. And, check this out, if you're not in the circle, God still has a plan for you because He determines the times and places we live. So we best come to know Him. My conviction is if you're in the circle, God wants you to live as a disciple. To make a commitment, to follow Him. And to understand how that all works, ask the person who invited you, let's study the Bible so I can get a deeper conviction about what is a disciple. Because I want to be part of God's rescue mission. I want to be part of men and women living a transformed life. Yes. Jesus, we just read here in Matthew 17, He was transformed. So transformed that He was like lightning. He was flashing. He was radiant. Some of you guys, I'm looking around, you guys look tired. Somebody needs a nap. Or maybe it's just the worries of this life have beat you up. Maybe it's your pain. I understand how it is. I really do. Because I would say for about a year, when I acquired a disability, I had a lower back injury, my faith really was challenged. Oh, I'm so fired up. Okay, well, let's see how you're fired up with a back injury. Let's see how you do. Let's see how many people you reach out to. Let's see how many studies you want to set up with a back injury. You know what I want to do with a back injury? I want to lay on my back and feel sorry for myself. Who's that going to inspire? We're all going to have our pains. Jesus was still making people more faithful at the cross. He was like, John, take care of my mom. Mom, that's your son. What are you going to do through your pain, through your tiredness? You going to be like Jesus? So, we got to look and see, how did Jesus get to be radiant? How did that happen? He's on a mountain, all of a sudden he's shining like the sun, and now he's talking to two of the greatest prophets before him that ever lived, Moses and Elijah. How did that happen? Because it doesn't say right here. But, let's dig a little deeper. Let's go to Luke. We named my son after this book, Luke. Let's go to Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Many of us are familiar with this because we use this in our discipleship study. You got to deny self. And that's absolutely true. You want to be a disciple, you have to deny self. Carry your cross daily. It's not a little trinket you wear around your neck. Actually, I had a cross ring. I'm like, oh, I'm really spiritual. I have a ring that has a cross on it. No. What the cross meant back then, it was an instrument of punishment. That's what it was. It was a pole that they would hang people on to suffer. That's what Jesus says. If you want, listen, you want to be a Christian, this is what you have to agree to first. You have to deny self. You can read all about that in Luke chapter 9. Beginning verse 23. But we're going to read a little afterwards. Something amazing happens here. We're going to put the pieces together. Verse 28 of Luke chapter 9. After about 8 days, Jesus said, I'm sorry, about 8 days after Jesus said this, He took Peter, John, and James with Him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As He was praying, His appearance of His face changed, and His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about His departure, which He was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Okay. Now we see what led up to Jesus shining like the sun, being radiant. What was it? He didn't just walk up a mountain. He didn't just show up at Whitney Young High School. Okay, guys, time for church. Come on, let me call my guys together and we'll do something religious. No. He prayed. Did you make a spiritual connection with God when you got up this morning?
Yeah.
Or whenever? When was the last time you poured out your heart to God? Kids too. Teens too. Last I checked, you guys need God too.
That's right.
And that's awesome that He's got angels who always look at, who always behold the eyes of the Father in heaven looking out for you. But think of what more you could do if you're praying fervently to God. Amen. Jesus prayed and He's radiant. You know, my shirt is white. No one would say, though, that I'm flashing like lightning. But I kid you not, if you have great faith, you will be radiant. And I saw it when Denise first reached out to me after she had become a true commitment and made a commitment to deny self daily and make a commitment to make disciples, to buy into Jesus' plan wholeheartedly. When she did that, she was radiant. I was like, boy, she's pretty, but now she's radiant. That didn't happen until she left me.
Wow.
Here's the thing, guys. If you're still where you're at and you've never let go of the world, maybe you know about Jesus. Maybe you could tell people all about His death, burial, and resurrection. Maybe you could say a prayer with somebody. But if you have never made that commitment, you'll never be radiant. The commitment to deny self and make a commitment to be a fisher of men, to buy into Jesus' plan. You'll never be radiant because you don't get the Holy Spirit without obeying Jesus. We learned that from the lesson in Acts about Ananias and Sapphira. You obey Jesus. Let's keep reading. We're going to pick back up after his clothes are becoming bright as a flash of lightning in verse 29. Then it says, I know we just read this, we're going to read it again. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about His departure, which He was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Now I looked up that word departure. And you know what the word is? The actual word is the same word they use for Exodus. Who else had an Exodus? Moses. So Moses has his Exodus, and he's able to talk with Jesus about Jesus' Exodus. God is going to put the right people in your life to get you focused spiritually, to be prepared to leave this world. You know, if you read the Bible and you study out, you know that God wants you to leave this world before you die and go into a spiritual world called the kingdom. If you're a true disciple, you're actually a part of that kingdom. Have you been living, though, like you're a part of this kingdom? What's your plan for the rest of the day? Are you looking forward to your food afterwards? Or are you, okay, who can I impact for Jesus? Or how can I learn more about Jesus? Okay, I got this message, but I got all these personal questions. How can I get that answered? Jesus needed to be talking to these guys. God knew what He needed. He was radiant. He sent them the two most powerful prophets ever. Right? From the Old Testament?
Yep.
Do you believe that God is going to do that for you? Do you believe that you can go in someone's life in this circle and say, help me spiritually. Show me what I need to do. Or are you just not willing to submit your life? Well, I can't submit my life to Sergio. He's a knucklehead. Is that what you're going to say? Or do you trust that God's going to work through Sergio and say, and his son said, you know, I can't remember where the scripture is, but this is what it says. It says you need to love God. You need to lay down your life. Do you trust that God can work through these guys? These guys are supposed to be dead. And God is working through Moses and Elijah to help Jesus and to talk about His departure. So then, what do the disciples do? Let's pick up. Peter, verse 32, Peter and his companions were very sleepy. But when they became fully awake, they saw His glory and the two men standing with him. And again, here's a little warning for you. If you're tired all the time, you're sleepy, you're not focused, you're not inspired by what's going on here, there's sin in your heart that's distracting you. And you may know it's damaging, but you don't want to give it up. For whatever reason, you love it. And I totally understand that, because with me, some of you guys know that before I became a disciple, I was a full-time cartoonist. And I was famous in my own right. Like, for independent cartoonists, I was famous. I got worldwide awards and all that, money, book deals, all kinds of stuff like that. When I became a disciple, I realized I couldn't write about the same stuff, and I couldn't maintain the same promotional schedule of going around on weekends to promote this stuff the way I normally did, and also try to raise a family. I couldn't do that. So I had to give it up. But when I got my back injury, then I realized, oh, what can I do for my back? Well, maybe I should build up the comic business again. So for me, it's always a pull. It's always a pull. Well, should I call this brother who's struggling, or should I reach out to this person that I met on the train, or should I draw this funny thing that Anna just did that's going to make everybody laugh? And so I have to make decisions. And am I saying I can never draw a comic again? No. Because you guys know I probably do one about once a week. But the thing is, there was a time where I was doing them every day. Guess how many studies I was in when I was doing comics every day? None. I was in none. And the whole family suffered for it. And that's my sin. That's my sin. What are you doing every day? What are you pouring your heart into? The last I heard, no one ever became a disciple by reading a comic book. I wish it was true, but it just never happened. I can't make a disciple by making comic books. You got to talk to the person. Jesus, that's what Jesus did. He took some guys and showed them his glory. But did they get it? What happened? They were sleepy. They were dull. They were distracted. And check out what they did. Verse 33. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. And this is what you got to understand. There's some of you, I believe, that are here because you know it is good to be here. It's better to be here than what maybe you were doing when you led an obvious life to sin. Oh, it's good to be here. It is. That's what Peter's life. It is good to be here. I see you, you're radiant. I see Elijah. This is good to be here. Oh, I like this. Let me do something for you, Jesus. Let's build me some shelters. He had no idea what he was talking about. These guys came from heaven. What do they need a shelter for? They're radiant. They're in Jesus' glory. And this is what you got to understand. This is what I finally understand from this. Because I didn't understand. I'm like, oh, well, he didn't understand. Maybe he didn't understand what he was saying, but God like made him say that somehow. But no, that's not what it was. I studied this out, and basically, he was just talking because he was nervous and afraid, and he didn't know what to do. He knew it was good to be there, but he had no plan for what to do next, and he didn't trust God to tell him what the plan was. And some of us, I believe, are like that. We just run off and get an idea. And we don't get advice about the spiritual things we should do. We just have these great plans. Some of you guys may have plans after church that you think, oh, this is my plan. Have you run it by anybody? Maybe you have a plan for what you're going to do Monday. Maybe you have a plan for how you're going to have this awesome date. Maybe you have a plan for how you're going to lead your spouse. But you haven't run it by anybody. And again, God is saying, come to me. Lay your burden on me. Learn from me. This is what we need to do if we want to follow Jesus. Jesus submitted his life to the Father. And we see what happened. He was transformed. He became a transformer. And you guys know about the movie Transformers. It's exciting. You got a little car, a nice cute car, and all of a sudden it becomes a robot. It's a change. It is a change. Jesus is not the little baby in the manger. He is transformed. by his submission to the Father in heaven. His submission to God's plan, he's transformed. Now, you could be more fired up about the Transformers movies or about mutants. They transform. You know, all of a sudden they're one thing, and the next thing they're invisible. All of a sudden they're walking through walls. Yeah, X-Men, the Hulk. You know, the same word here that's used for transform in Matthew is metamorphosis. And we know the Hulk, he gets angry and he's transformed. He becomes mean and green. And you better watch out. You guys better watch out too. Sometimes you have, I know, I have my sinful nature. I don't become mean and green though. I become quiet and I hold back. I pull back my love. Some of you guys though become mean and green. But you don't get all big and bulky. It just looks scary. So again, you've got to go to God and see what does He want you to do with your life. He wants you to submit to His plan. And not just make up your own plan. Because then you'll miss the glory of God by doing your own thing. Verse 34. This is Peter. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. You know, think about it. We may think, oh, well, we got next week is our anniversary, third anniversary service. I can't wait for that. What if we don't make it to that? What if we all die before that? Like this building is so secure. Like Chicago is so secure. Like nothing ever happened bad in Chicago. We got a fire. We got all kinds of things that could happen. Or God could just decide, okay, that's it. Time's up. We just don't know. We can make noble plans and by our noble deeds stand. And we try to do that. I hope you try to do that too. But we're acting like tomorrow is promised to us. But these guys didn't plan to be entering into a cloud. But here they are. And are you ready when you're going to enter into the presence of God? And we're reminded from the presence of the cloud here in the mountain with, and it envelops them. It envelops James, Peter, and John. It's surrounding Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. We're reminded of the cloud in Exodus with God's power was present and He would speak to the people. When the cloud rested on the tent of meeting back in the day, Moses' time, no one could enter. It was the presence of God. But now, people can enter. What's He saying? He's saying, heaven's about to be opened up. I'm going to include you guys in my realm. And think about that. I deserve to be in a volcano, not in a presence of God on a mountain for my sin. The things I did to Denise, try to beat her down and just being rude to my kids and harsh. I don't deserve to be in God's presence. I deserve death. I deserve to be thrown in a volcano. And look at your sin. You know, we deserve death for what we did. But Jesus, He's saying, no, I can take the punishment for that what you deserve. I'll take it. But are you going to be grateful that you can actually stand in my presence forgiven for all that? Are you grateful? And this is really the heart of it. Do you want to be a part of what Jesus is calling us to be? Do you want to lead a transformed life? Well, you can look back at your life of sin where it was just unrepentant sin and you can look back and be like, who was that person? Amen. My hope is that people who knew me 11 years ago and asked Denise, she would know, my hope is that they'll say, he's a totally different person now. He has been transformed by God. Can you say that about your life? Or do people that have known you in the past be like, oh, well, yeah, same old. Just picked up a couple new tricks. A couple new skills. More Xbox points. Are you transformed by God? Are you a transformer for Christ? Christ was a transformer. He transformed the whole world. Yeah. And to help people understand that there's darkness and there's light. Which one do you want to be a part of? And you could look, sometimes you could just look at people in the eyes and know, hey, what, are you okay? The light coming out of your eyes is there's a darkness there. Are you struggling with something? And listen, as we take our communion in just a few minutes and have the cracker and the juice, lay your sin before God. Confess it.
Come on, Joe.
And if you have a clear conscience and you've repented, look around. And as, after we break, see who you can help. Offer your help. Now, of course, you're not going to grab someone. I'm going to help you repent, my wife. That's not what you're going to do. But you're going to offer yourself. Jesus didn't make these guys follow him. He said, here we are. Do you want to leave also? This is going to be awesome. You're going to see amazing things. Do you want to leave also? Because there's some hard teachings you got to follow. You got to deny self. That's a hard thing to do. But if you do it, you will see the glory of God and you will view the holy city. Let's pray. Father God, please, I pray, Father, that we will lead a transformed life, God, that we will not be captivated by the excitement of the world, that we will not be such students of the world that we have no time for you, God. I pray that we will lay our life down for you, God, that we will understand more and more what it took for you to be transformed. And God, I pray that we will eagerly desire to see you in your fullness, in a place where no mind can see, no ear can conceive what you've planned for us, God. But I know that, you know, in a circle this big, there's going to be some that are going to say, I just can't do it. They're going to buy into Satan's lie, who was also a transformer. He was transformed. He masquerades as an angel of light, and they're going to be deceived. I pray, Father, that we will all say no to Satan's plan and say yes to your plan, to submit to your will, to lead a life that's transformed and that will transform others, God, into followers of you, God. Help us to have the compassion and mercy and the patience like you had with your disciples and with us, God, that you do not punish us as our sins deserve. I'm just so grateful that we have really been called to follow you, God, that it's not too far. It's not insurmountable to follow you, God, that we can carry our cross daily. God, but help us to trust you, God. Please, increase my faith so that I don't waver and that I don't be distracted by the pleasure of this life, God. But I just, the life you live, help me to see it more and more. You lived as a homeless man, as a jobless man, but you changed the world, God, and you offered us hope and a future, God. Thank you for that, and help us to always appreciate your sacrifice. Father, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.